Hello, everybody. It's Burning River Radio, and there's one burning question on everybody's mind right now, and that is, how are we going to get Paul George? I say, is Carlos Santana enough?
Got to be Carlos Santana, the prospect.
Do we have to add in Jose Ramirez? How are we going to get Paul George? Who is Paul George? Is he the guy who sang Shock the Monkey? I'm not really sure. That's because this is Burning River Baseball, and I'm Joe Koblitz at Burning River BB on Twitter, and I'm here with Justin Latta at JL_baseball. How you doing, Justin?
Wonderful.
I should have made it Boy George.
Paul George at all.
Oh. Boy George would have been way funnier. Oh, missed this opportunity.
You really missed the boat on that one.
We'll get him next time, kid. Anyway, I wanted to wish you a...
We'll start over. Nobody has to know.
Justin, I just wanted to wish you a happy You Don't Have Any Kids Day.
I do not have any kids, but so thank you for being considerate, yes.
You're so lucky. Okay, so the Indians...
Happy having a kid day to you, then.
No, that's all right. The Indians are playing some good baseball lately. They beat the Dodgers, which was really exciting. But it was the last game, and the last game is the most important. Last game is worth three times as much as all the other games. So I count that as a win, right?
They were good games until the bullpen came in and did some weird things they never do.
Yeah, and Andrew Miller blew everything, so he became the closer. that's how life works. So the Indians went to Minnesota and swept the Twinkies, not just swept them in a three-game series, which is difficult, but swept them in a doubleheader, which I think is harder than sweeping an entire three-game series, sweeping a doubleheader in a single day. And so they swept a four-game series.
That's extremely hard, especially after a
Friday. Yeah, Friday to Saturday and Sunday.
That was the most impressive four-game stretch they've had.
Yeah, probably this season.
Yeah.
Offensively, particularly, and they didn't have to use Adam Plutko,
or Michael Brantley.
Well, Michael Brantley is on the paternity list because he is celebrating his third Father's Day or something like that.
Fourth, I think.
Fourth. I'm talking about how many children he has, which has nothing to do with that.
Four.
He has four children now. It's really irrelevant. I don't care how many children he has. But he had a baby on Thursday, maybe Friday. He missed the game Thursday and then was put on the paternity list on Friday, which means he has to be back by Monday. Which probably, if you're listening to the day this is out, it's probably the day you're listening to it.
Yep.
But you may be listening to it after that, and he's been out for 2 weeks, back for 2 weeks, whatever. Anyway, so he missed the whole weekend series against the Twins. But Adam Plutko was on the roster the entire series, and he didn't play either. So they had equal effects.
Worked out well.
I just hate this. I hate Terry Francona's bullpen use. Not just his use, not the use necessarily. I hate the 25-man roster use of the bullpen. It makes no sense. It's a Monty Python skit of roster usage.
That's because the 25-man roster is outdated. It needs to be updated. I'm still mad again. We talked about this before about the 26-man not happening. And I'm still mad that they haven't gone to a hockey-style roster where you have 28 or 29 guys with you at all times and only 25 can be active per day. So, like, tomorrow you can activate a reliever if your bullpen's burned.
Well, that actually, that's...
And they should do this because...
Well, the Indians did do that.
Everyone's so focused on rest. They want to get players rest. They want to make sure they're healthy, and they want to make sure they're giving their best, you know, down the stretch. It'd be great if you could, you know, inactivate them for one of the day and add somebody else and still have a full roster, you know?
Well, they did do that, actually, because they had game one. Let's say going on Friday, they had Kyle Crockett on the roster, I believe, still. And then Saturday, they – moved down Kyle Crockett and brought up Ryan Merritt and Mike Clevenger because you get to add a 26 man.
No, that's 26 man.
So that's 27 people. After the first game, they sent down Ryan Merritt and brought up Ursula. So that's 28 people. And then after that game, they sent down Ursula and brought up Sean Armstrong. All of those people were in Minnesota the entire weekend.
Which is
so that's actually 20,
not quite legal.
That's a 29-man roster.
It is. They should do that all the time. Like, that should be the way the league works.
Okay, so see, but you're on the opposite side of this because I think they should have like a 22-man roster. I think there's way too many people. They don't need that many people. It's
more.
But Adam Plutko, the entire time, was on the roster. Never
all four
used.
All four games, yeah. Never played.
Never used. He was an emergency.
They didn't want
to. If we need him, we'll bring him up. Never an emergency. Which is good, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I still like the idea of having. I mean, how if you're talking about, like I said, rest for guys and wanting the best 25 and wanting them to be healthy and, you know, for the best for baseball, it's the same argument with basketball about people having to rest players because there's too many back-to-backs. Well,
it's if you want completely to, different. I mean,
different because there's not only five guys and because
well it's completely different because you're talking about the rules of baseball, the logistics of the roster system, whereas in basketball you can rest those guys and you have other guys on the bench to bring in. That'd be like resting Lindor and playing Eric Gonzalez, which they could do whenever they feel like doing, and they did once
they
this did, weekend
but they could also
and
have
they won. But it has nothing to do with having a larger than 25-man roster.
It doesn't, no, but for situations like these, it would look good. And I think while we're talking about it, I know you don't love the use of Terry Francona's use of the bullpen or how it works in the 25-man roster.
No, wait. I love Terry Francona's use of the bullpen. I just don't think he needs an 8-man bullpen. I think he can do it with 7. I think he could do it with 6, honestly. But I think he definitely can do it with 7. If they're playing well, he can do it with 6. Because then your starter is going 6 to 7 innings every night, and he doesn't need all those guys. If they're not playing well, he definitely needs 7. He never needs 8. He has never, in his entire time with the team, needed 8 men in the bullpen, and he's had it. And he's had 10 men in the bullpen recently. It's too much. He can't use 10 guys. I don't want to argue about this, but he can't. He's never been able to.
I think it's good roster manipulation, though. Because
like, Yandy Diaz is in AAA. And that's where he needs to be. Because he's been a bad boy.
Yes, he's been a bad boy. Well, he's on the DL, so he's been really bad.
Oh, that's right. He just got hurt last week. So
yeah, he did.
This is bad timing for him to get hurt. Because that probably... Everyone making way too much about Ursula's one game with the Indians. that would have been Yandy's spot if he wasn't hurt.
I probably would have been, yes. I didn't even think about that, actually, until you brought that up, so that's a good point. But
yeah, Hammy was making such a big deal about Ursula coming up. I was like, well, if they really thought anything about Ursula at all, maybe he would have played a single game in 2016.
Or he would have
played one single game in an entire year. Sorry, repeat that, Justin.
I said when Kipnis was hurt in spring training, if they thought anything of Urshela, he would have started over Diaz instead of starting Diaz's clock.
Yeah.
And claiming that Urshela is better defensively when they continue to shred Yanni Diaz defensively.
Wait, Urshela is better defensively.
Oh, he is, yes. But, I mean, they could have at least made that argument soundly by using Urshela.
Yeah.
Because Diaz is not bad defensively. It's just Urshela is gold glove good defensively. But I still like for weekends like this. This is a tough spot because the Indians are playing 22 games in 20 days coming up. You know, they're a little bit dinged up, but who isn't? But I think it's commendable to say how they work the roster with, you know, I there's a lot of organizations that might not have handled it as well as the Indians did. Like, they prepared for it very well, you know, with the Plutko thing, but also with.
Yeah, and I do think you needed Plutko because you had Merritt and Clevenger going, and you're like, well, what if Merritt goes 2 innings? Then we need somebody who could pitch the next 4, and Plutko would have been that guy, but they didn't need him because Merritt was fine.
But that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they used Merritt. They called him up and used Clevinger as the 26th man so they could recall him Thursday to make it, to take his turn of the rotation.
Yeah, so he didn't have to spend 10 days down.
Right. Instead, I mean, and they could have really royally screwed that up. I think people might underestimate that other organizations might have screwed that up. They might have called up Clevinger and used Merritt as the 26th man and then been kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. And then also have like Armstrong and Plutko and Urshela on the trip with them. So I'm just saying from a roster standpoint, I think they
really prepared. I feel like we're beyond that point in baseball. I think that most teams are smarter than that.
Right. Well, maybe the Twins and the Arizona Diamondbacks are the last two teams that wouldn't have been last year. So maybe the Mets. The Mets probably would screw that up.
The Mets are mostly injury problems, right?
Well, that's their fault too.
Maybe.
But I mean,
if that's their fault, then it's the Indians' fault that Salazar's injured.
Sure, why not? They should realize he's going to get hurt.
Well, no, because he was using weighted balls in spring training.
Oh, stop. Stop. That's something else we can talk about, too, when we move on. Which I'm ready to move on.
Which you're ready to move on. What about the RZA? The RZA Tizza hitting two home runs in a game.
Three straight games with someone hitting two runs or two home runs.
Yeah, that's kind of beside the. I mean, Jose Ramirez is obviously on fire. He's just crushing.
He is the fire
and utterly. And that's why I listened to the game on radio yesterday. Would have been Saturday night. Saturday night's game, not Saturday mornings. And Tom Hamilton talking about how Giovanni Urshela was the third baseman of the future, and I'm thinking like he was never the third baseman of the future. Like, for the people who know the minor league system, he never had the bat to be the third baseman of the future. I don't think any of us ever crowned him that. And when Ramirez came up, that was more the answer. But most of us had a pulse on Yandy Diaz a couple of years ago, I think. At least 2 years ago.
Yeah, I would say two.
We were looking at him.
When we realized that Urshela couldn't take a walk.
I wasn't looking at Ramirez or Urshela. I was looking at Diaz more, I would say, at least of 2016.
Ramirez definitely was always the second baseman in the future, and he still might be. Who knows? Yeah.
But it was funny hearing him talk about that. But obviously, Ramirez, and we talked about this. I don't know if anyone's listening to this now and didn't realize we started Tribe Time Now back up last week.
I saw that.
And we talked about this a bit. I gave you a plug on that. You probably didn't listen to it. But
I didn't. You're on fire today, you know.
Ryan had brought up that Jose Ramirez, nobody knew that Jose Ramirez was going to be good. And I said, well, Justin knew he was going to be good because he watched him in Lake County. Uh-huh. I didn't watch him in Lake County, so I didn't know that. But Justin knew it.
When he hit like 360 in 2012 and was Lindor's second baseman, yeah.
Yeah, so I gave you credit for that, and I said, like, there were people who knew, it's just the major league guys didn't know that. And so I think a lot of the major league guys didn't know that. And I guess there's one thing I wanted to say, now that I'm on my show, is that bullshit about Eric Gonzalez a couple days ago. Eric Gonzalez hit a home run. Well, first thing, Eric Gonzalez committed an error, and then everybody on Twitter said, cut him, he needs to get sent down to AAA as punishment for committing an error so he knows what he did, which is so fucking retarded.
That was the dumbest thing I've seen all year. That was dumber than Edwin's a bust. That was dumber than that was the dumbest comment. There's been a lot of dumb comments this year. That was the dumbest one.
It was ridiculous. And then the next day, he hits a home run. The error was he missed second base. He was turning a double play and he didn't touch second base, so it wasn't even counted as an error. So if you look up looking up box scores, you're not going to find a day where he committed an error. He did commit an error like 2 days later, but the one we're talking about is when he forgot to touch second base on a double play. The next day, he hits a home run, and everybody is talking about, like, this guy is a starter of the future, and some guy, a blogger, whatever, says Eric Gonzalez is going to be starting for the Indians by the end of the season.
What?
And I said,
"What's that?"
And I said, how is that any way possible? That's all I said, was how is that possible?
Because someone has to get hurt.
Let's just go through this lineup. You got Encarnacion as DH, Santana's at first, Kipnis is second, Lindor's at short, Ramirez is at third, Brantley's in left, Zimmer's in center, and Chisenhall's in right. Who of those guys is Eric Gonzalez going to replace? He can play all those positions. He can play those nine spots.
But he won't.
But who is he better than offensively or defensively that he's going to replace? There isn't a single guy. So I called him on it. And, of course, he had originally tagged Andre Knott in the original tweet. And so after I had said something like, who is he going to replace? And then he came back to me and I tagged back to him and somebody else joined in. Andre Knott jumps into the thing and says, hey, he's a rookie. Let him find his own way.
Okay.
And that may have been – that. Actually, I think that was actually after I had said – we've been looking at Eric Gonzalez for years. He's always projected as a utility man. Let him be a utility man. That's what I said.
That's not
let him be a utility man. And then Andre Knott said, hey, it's his first year. Let him, you know, let him play out for a little bit and let's see what he has. But I so often we're right on this stuff. I mean, like that. These guys coming up, we see what's happening. You can see that Nelly Rodriguez is never going to start. Well, if Nelly Rodriguez comes up tomorrow and hits a home run, are you going to say he's going to replace Edwin Encarnacion? Like, is that – if he did that, let's say somebody – for some reason they brought up Nelly Rodriguez and he hit a – or, yeah, Nelly and he hit a home run. Is he now the starter of the future? No.
He is the first baseman of the future, yes.
He's a whatever. Like, he's a quadruple-A guy, maybe. He's not even a quadruple-A guy. He's a triple-A guy. You know, it's like, we can see these guys, and I feel like Andre Knott, I know he does his research, and I know he's there, but he does not see as much minor league baseball as we see. I guarantee it, because I watch the Indians game, and then I go down to see an AZL game, or I watch an extended spring game, and then I watch the Indians game later in the day. I'm seeing two games a day, at least, three games a day sometimes. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, I see a lot more prospects. I mean, he sees the prospects in spring training. That's it. That's the only time he sees.
Yeah, I see a lot more minor league players than most people do. And I didn't see Eric Gonzalez for a long time, but I follow him very closely, and I've seen his numbers. And I have people like previous to this year, we had Kevin Call in Columbus watching him every day. And I'm aware of what's going on there. And nobody ever thought Eric Gonzalez was going to be a starter anywhere. Nobody who knew what they were talking about. Some idiots may have looked at his numbers like those idiots who look at Nelly Rodriguez's numbers and think he's going to start at first base. But nobody ever really thought he was going to start. So then he hits one home run. And everybody's saying, it was 10, 15 people at least on my timeline going, he's a starter. He should be starting somewhere. He hit one home run. Dwayne Kuiper hit a home run. Who cares?
He can start. No, he can start. He just can't start here. There's probably a team out there that would probably could start him at short. I mean, it wouldn't
Tim Anderson is a starter.
Right. I mean, well, I'm not saying he's not a what they call a first division starter. Yeah. I mean, he could start for the Marlins. He could start for.
Yeah. But that, I guess that's my point, is that he's never, ever, ever going to start for the Indians, ever. It's not going to happen because he's going to run out of control before Lindor does because he was on the 40-man roster before Lindor was.
Like, yeah, he has no options after this year. Well, they apply. Oh, they already know. They sent him back down, then he's an option. So I guess if they never send
him down. He's out of options now. He can go down this year, but he can't go down in 2018.
Wait, but they applied for a fourth year, and he hasn't been sent down yet this year. So if they don't send him down.
No, but he started the season down this year, and that counts.
Does
if
it?
You're on the 40-man roster and you start the season in AAA, that's an option. You were optioned at the beginning
of
the season.
Oh, right. He had to be optioned spring training. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. So he was optioned. He's done. He's out of options. He can't be optioned again. He's not replacing Lindor. He's not replacing Kipnis. He's not replacing Ramirez. He's not starting. That's it.
He's not replacing Santana next year first.
Done. It's silly to talk about him as an Indian starting player. Let him be a utility man. I mean, and I thought about this last night. This is completely off topic, and we should move on shortly. But I was at my daughter's dance recital, and there was some really – they did some of the groups, like some of the older kids did some cool stuff. But you know who got the biggest cheers? Some three-year-olds who didn't know what they were doing, and they ran out there and they ran off because they sucked. People love stuff that sucks. They love underdogs. They love the worst. They like the bad things. That's why they like Daniel Robertson. They love Daniel Robertson because he was supposed to be terrible. In Little League, when we play coach pitch in Little League, a kid will hit a double, and they'll be like, yeah, whatever, and some people will clap. A kid strikes out, every single parent in the crowd claps. And I'm like, no, don't clap for your kid when they strike out. Clap when they hit a
double. Is that participation trophy clapping? Is that how that works?
It might be something like that. But I think there's something about people like – the shitty stuff. They don't like the good stuff. They like the bad stuff. And so you get a player like Daniel Robertson, who is obviously not good. He is not a good baseball player. He's way better than Michael Martinez. Still not a good baseball player. He has a good arm, but you need more than one good asset to play baseball well.
Right, it's not bad.
And definitely, and he's played as a starter. He's been a starter since he's been on the team. He's played every single day.
Yeah, that's not good.
And people just fall in love with guys like that. They don't fall – I guess they like Lindor and they like Encarnacion and they like Brantley enough. But when Robertson does something, everybody goes crazy, and it's like their favorite little waterhead hit a home run. So
I have a great analogy, by the way, for why people like crappy stuff. This is why when the Indians are doing well, or the Cavs, there's not much to talk about, like radio-wise or anywhere. But when the Browns are horrible, consistently horrible, there's lots to talk about because they're horrible. And when the Cavs don't do well, there's more to talk about. Everyone wants to talk about something that sucks. When things are going
no, but
good,
I don't think that.
People are bored.
They like the thing that's bad when it's good. They like to root for the thing that's bad so that when it's good, they can be like, see, look, my guy's doing it. And I think Lonnie Chisenhall is like the perfect example of this because he sucked for years.
On Indians Twitter, he absolutely is because
– and I was like the first guy – I was one of the first people to support Lonnie, and I said he should start over Jack Hanahan, and I got in a fight with Jordan Bastion over 8 years ago about how he should start over Jack Hanahan. And obviously I was right, and I don't know what he was talking about back then. But the point is people started loving Lonnie because he sucked. I think they loved him because he sucked, and then he'd have three great games and be like, see, look it, our guy who sucks can be good.
He was
for 3 days.
A prospect. That's why people loved him. He was a prospect. He was a first-round pick.
No, I'm talking about well past that. Well beyond prospect years. I'm not talking about 2011. I'm talking about 2014.
But for the same reason people love Jack Hanahan like they love Daniel Robertson. Jack Hanahan was the guy who's not supposed to be any good. And for, like, every April he was here, he did a home run opening day and a couple more. And then he got into that fight with the Royals, I think 2011. And everyone loved him for that. But then that was your point, though, is –
He does
good things. People love him.
Yeah, that's kind of on that side. But then people switch to Chisenhall, and now the people who love shitty things love Chisenhall. But now he's actually playing really well. So now they can say, look, we liked him when he was bad, and now he's good. So see, we got you. It's not as fun to like Lindor, who was always good. Lindor was drafted as the best shortstop in his class. And then he was the best minor leaguer at every single level he ever played at. And then he was the best player. He was the best rookie for the entire season. And then he was one of the best players on his team for the next 2 years. It's like, that's not entertaining to these people. They need to take the bad guy and hope he gets good. They can't just root for the guy that's great. Root for the guy that's great. He's great. Lindor is great. He's one of the best players in Indians history. Root for him. Corey Kluber, if Corey Kluber plays through his contract, he's going to be on par with Bob Feller as one of the best pitchers in Indians history. He's not there yet. But if he keeps going through the entirety of his contract, he will be one of the top three pitchers in Indians history with Addy Johnson, Bob Feller. And enjoy that. Enjoy Kluber. Don't jump on to Josh Tomlin because he sucks, and when he pitches a good game, you want to go, oh, look, see, I was on Josh Tomlin's side when he was sucked, and now he pitched a good game. No, Josh Tomlin sucks. Corey Kluber is good. I mean, this shit is obvious. We know this. You know.
I get your point.
Well, and like, there's nobody who would say, and Daniel Robertson, on the point that we're saying right now, There's nobody who would say that Daniel Robertson should start over any regular Indian starter, right?
Never.
Everybody would say that Daniel Robertson is not as good as any of those guys I named later, earlier, talking about Eric Gonzalez. Like, Daniel Robertson plays second and outfield. He should not start over Kipnis. Nobody would say he should. He should not start over Chisenhall or Zimmer or Brantley.
Especially Zimmer. Okay. This whole platooning thing is getting out of control.
Yeah, so he shouldn't start over any of those guys. And yet, there are people who would say, every day, I see people on Twitter, Robertson should start every day. He needs to play every day. He's playing his ass off. He needs to play. No, he doesn't.
Who says that? Those are dumb people.
All the time.
I like Robertson. Every single day. I'm saying he needs to start every day.
Every single day, somebody says, oh, he's playing so hard. He needs to get in the lineup every single day. And he doesn't. He really doesn't.
He is playing hard.
He's not that good.
That's why he's never been a major league regular, and he's 31 years old.
Root for the guys who are good.
Here's my last thing about Robertson. My last thing about Robertson is he has served a valuable role with Guyer out. He's brought a, you know, that whole cliche spark thing to the team. He's made some great defensive plays. He's had a couple big hits. He runs the bases fairly well. He's well-liked. So he has a role here while Guyer's out. But when you play him 21 games in a row, you enter the law of diminishing returns with him. Like, he's good when you have to play him once every 7-8 days. But when you have to play him, when you're playing him 21 days in a row, he's going to be more of a detriment than he is a help.
Yeah, and I mean, if you like...
Same as Michael Martinez.
Yeah, and he should be in that Michael Martinez role playing once every once in a while. And Gonzalez, Eric Gonzalez should be playing every once in a while. They both have a place on this team. When Guyer comes back...
Yeah, he's gone.
When Guyer comes back, Robertson will not have a place on this team. And we talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago. We were talking about how... Maybe it was last week. I think I said I hope that they find a way to keep Robertson on the team for the moment. And that way was putting Michael Brantley on the paternity list, essentially. I'm okay with them DFAing Robertson now.
I think if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said
it took a week.
That they can't do it, because remember we were talking about how, you know, when Almonte comes back, well, you were talking about cutting Jackson. Well, Jackson keeps hitting the ball well.
Well, I think Robertson is better than Almonte. I'll say that straight up. I'd rather have Robertson than Almonte.
But not Jackson.
But no, I'd rather have Jackson.
Yeah, so he's out of role. I mean, if they didn't have Jackson, you could argue that you could keep Robertson as long as Zimmer plays every day and Guyer platoons with Chisenhall, and you just use Robertson when Brantley needs a day off or someone else needs a day off, but not over any of those guys.
I mean, plus Brantley is coming back on Monday. They have to bring back Clevinger by Thursday. So you're talking about multiple roster moves. It's not like there's one guy. Obviously, they're going to send Plutko down, I would assume.
Tomorrow.
On Monday for Brantley. That seems like the obvious choice. But then, you know, you still have to get Guyer back. And I really think that makes so much more sense. You got three additions you have to do to this roster. So to drop three guys, you're talking about two pitchers and probably Robertson.
Yeah, Robertson has to go for Guyer. There's no else. You can't keep six outfielders. Robertson doesn't play enough infield spots to stay over Gonzalez.
And I don't want to talk trash on him, and I think he is a great player. He's fun, but he's not he's not a World Series player. On a World Series roster, like, you can't root for the shitty guys. And then I'm talking about guys like Michael Martinez and Daniel Robertson. You can't root for the shitty players who have good games every once in a while and also want to win a World Series. The teams that win the World Series have the best players in baseball. They don't have shitty role players, you know, who should be playing once a week, playing 6 days a week. It just doesn't happen. You need to have great players at every position to get to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really... say anything better. You should be rooting to have the best 25 guys at all time, which is why people wanted Yandy Diaz so long, because he was one of the best 25 guys they could have played. You should always have the best 25 in your roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, I think, hopefully that'll temper some people who want to see Robertson stick around. I don't. I like if you're one of the WRC plus guys. I looked it up the other day, and his was like a 51. he really has not been that good. I feel like his plays have been so splashy and electric, like they really stick out when he makes a great play. A lot of because outfield assists stick out more than anything else, right? So, like, when you make an outfield assist, you remember that for weeks. I remember Brantley had two in consecutive days, and I still remember those. Well, I might not remember any other defensive plays made in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's usually the throws.
So you remember those outfield assists, and Robertson has those, and that's why you remember him. And you remember when guys steal bases and take extra bases and plays at the plate, stuff like that. So that's why you remember him, but he really isn't that good of a hitter. And when it comes down to it, guys like Encarnacion and Brantley and Lindor and Ramirez are going to carry this team. And guys like Robertson are really irrelevant.
Do you think there's any way, I hope they won't do it, I don't think they will, do you think there's any possibility they'll do something stupid like send Gonzalez back to AAA and keep Robertson when Guyer comes back?
Are you saying it's something stupid because it's what I said on the podcast last week?
I mean,
are you calling me stupid?
Does it sound like something they would do? Because we know they always do the things they say they're going to do.
I went on Tribe Time Now a couple days ago and said that how stupid I was for saying that.
But will they do it? Do you think there's any chance?
No, I don't think so. The only way they would have done that is if they kept Ursula and they already sent Ursula back.
Yeah, somebody else told me that Ursula.
And I was wondering for a second. When they brought up Ursula, I was wondering for a second, like, I wonder if this is a send Gonzalez down and use Ramirez as a utility guy, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Well,
the move made no sense at all. Bringing Ursula up for one game, it didn't make any sense.
Well, okay. If they really wanted an extra infielder, probably because of Kipnis's neck, I guess. Who else was down there since Diaz was hurt? Like Urshela. And...
But they had Gonzalez. I don't like. They just don't give somebody else a day off. Lindor an extra day off. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Or Robertson. Play Robertson a second. Like, you'd be fine for a day. I
love that, yeah.
Ursula was on the team for one game. In 2 years, he's been on the team for one single game. That's his 25-man roster time in two seasons. By the way, remember when we were talking about... We talked about a book I had read, the Kurt Flood story, maybe 3 weeks ago or whatever on this show. That's why that exists. That's why the option thing exists. It's for players like Ursula. Because they don't want it so you're stuck on the same team in the minors forever. Because if you're good enough to start somewhere, you should be starting somewhere. That's the whole purpose of the system that is currently in place. Is to get guys like Ursula out of teams like they are on right now. It's silly. He could have played on a major league team last year.
What? Where is he not at the option Indians. Wise?
What?
Where is Ursula at option wise? Is this his last option year too?
You really want me to look up research a book? Talking podcast. You better sing a song or something.
I'm just wondering because somebody brought to me that maybe they were trying to showcase Ursula for a trade, which I said they're probably not. But
one game.
He
was up for one game.
Right, so that's not a showcase. But at the same time, I could see him being part of a trade if they do something because there's no spot for him here. He and Tyler Naquin both. The only
songs I can think of him, Roana, right now. And I'm looking in minor leaguers, and he's obviously on the major league roster, so now it's going to take me longer to find him.
Like you said, Wyatt Gonzalez is never going to play, never going to start here. So, and it's the same for Urshela, he's never going to start here. And Naquin's never going to start here.
I just got Richie Schaefer, so he's in that same boat.
I would have rather had Richie Schaefer up. He's not on the 40-man roster.
Okay, Giovanni Ursula says one option remaining as of spring training 2017. So I would say he has zero options remaining.
Yeah, so next year I don't know what they're going to do. That's what I'm saying. I could see him going on a trade because, I mean, not that there was a showcase yesterday, but – he's not going to, like you said, he's not going to ever start here the same way Gonzalez is ever going to start. So why
I
not
found that too, yeah.
Use him?
I found that too quickly. I was going to start singing some Duran Duran.
I wouldn't know the words.
I was going to sing Rio. You don't know that?
If you sang it, I'd probably catch it, but off the top of my head. I don't know it.
You're really disappointing me, Justin.
Only 28, man. Sorry, I was born in '89.
You think I was alive when Duran Duran was popular?
You know it, so maybe.
Her name was Rio, and she dances on the...
Nope.
Nothing?
No bell.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about the NL West. I wrote an article about the NL West on burningriverbaseball.com, which is not our MO at all. But I felt it was important because the Indians sucked. They won one game out of... I got to do some quick math. It was 2, 3, and 3. How many is that? 8? They went 1-7 against the NL West so far this year.
Yeah, they were horrible.
And so I felt it was important to do something on the NL West. Currently, the Dodgers have a 3-game winning streak. The Diamondbacks have a 7-game winning streak. And the Rockies have a 5-game winning streak.
And the Giants suck.
All three teams. Well, I only mean the three teams. That's all I'm talking about. All three teams have 44 or more wins. You know how many baseball teams have 44 or more wins this year?
The Astros.
4. 4 baseball teams have 44 or more wins. 3 of them are in the National League West. They're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my predictions that I feel like we did preseason predictions and whatnot, and I don't really remember what they were. But I'd like to make some predictions of what I think is going to happen with this particular National League situation in the West and overall. And then you can make some if you'd like.
Sure.
Obviously, the Nationals are going to win the East, right? They're up 10.5 games, and they're running away with it.
That's over.
In the West, the Dodgers are so favored. And I don't have the Fangraphs numbers up now, but I had them up a couple days ago. The Dodgers are still like 80% favorites to win the West, which I think is crazy because the division is so close right now. But it is what it is. I think that the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks are going to stay pretty head-to-head through the rest of the season, but the Dodgers will win the division, and the Diamondbacks will win the number one wild card spot. I think the Rockies...
That's weird.
What?
I said, who predicted that? That's weird. I feel like somebody on our... I predicted they'd make the playoffs, yeah.
Did you? Okay. I think that the Rockies are going to fall back a little bit. Now, currently, the Rockies have the Dodgers have a 9-game lead, so the Rockies have a 10-game lead in the wild card. That's fairly massive.
Fangraphs has the Dodgers 82.4% to win the West.
Yeah, and so I say I do think
5 and Diamondbacks 8.1.
I think the Diamondbacks are better than the Rockies based on what I've seen this year, but I think the Dodgers are going to win the West.
Yes,
and I think the Diamondbacks are going to win the wild card. I think that the Rockies are going to fall back enough that it's going to be a competition, despite the fact that they're 10 games up on the Cubs right now. I think the Cubs, Rockies, Brewers, possibly Mets, are going to be in a fight for the that wild card spot. But what really interests me about it is that the Brewers are still up 2.5 games in the Central. If the Rockies can hang on, and if the Rockies, Diamondbacks, and Dodgers can hang on, and they all keep where they are, then only one team from each of the East and the Central can make it. So if the Brewers can hang on and still be awesome through the whole season, there's a chance the Cubs won't even make the playoffs this year.
I don't foresee that happening at all.
But I'm just saying, there's a better chance of the Cubs not making it than the Indians not making it. To me, the Indians are making the playoffs no matter what. There's no other – the NL is so different from the AL. Right now in the AL – excluding the West, because Houston has gotten off to such a giant leap. But, you know, even including the West, every single team in the American League is within 5 games of a playoff spot right now.
Except for the West.
No, if you include the wild card.
Oh, okay, so.
Every single team, there's 15 teams, they're all within 5 games of a playoff spot. In the National League, San Diego, San Francisco, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Atlanta, New York, Miami, Philadelphia are all 10-plus games out. So it's such a different thing. Like in the National League, it's almost like the field is set already. And you've got very few teams. And that's what the New York Mets are 31-37. They're 10.5 out of the division and 12 games out of the wild card. And they're one of the closest competitors for the wild card. There are three teams that are 12 games back. It's the Cardinals, the Mets, and the Braves are 12 games back. And then the Cubs are 9 games back.
So what's your prediction for that? If you're predicting the wild card, what's your prediction for the Cubs?
Honestly, I think the Cubs will probably win the division. And it's going to be – it'll be between – so you've got five teams. You've got the Cubs, Nationals, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and then one between Milwaukee and Colorado. That would be my prediction. I like Milwaukee. I hope they can do it. But it's a big gap to make up, 9 games. Although Milwaukee doesn't have quite that big of a gap. They got about 6 games to make up.
If Milwaukee doesn't win the division, they're not going to get in the playoffs. I don't think they're winning the division.
But they're 2.5 games closer than the Cubs are to the Rockies, if that's what you're talking about.
I'm just talking about they're leading the division.
Yeah, they're leading the division by 2.5 games right now.
Right, right. Which is amazing because who would have thought the Indians finally kicked into gear this weekend, it looks like, and the Cubs are still kind of waffling.
I there's no question that the Cubs are the best team in the NL Central. Just like there's no question that the Indians were the best team in the AL Central a week ago, even though they weren't second. So I'm not going to hold the fact that the Cubs are in second against them. I'm just saying there is the potentiality of them not making the playoffs, which really makes me happy.
See, I don't really care if they don't, if they do. It doesn't matter to me.
I do. I don't know. I don't want them in it. I think it – and, of course, now if they play the Dodgers, they could be having some major issues. The Dodgers are so good. It was a very difficult season this week. Or series this week, sir.
Yeah, the Dodgers will win that division. I actually think both teams will make it. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks will both win the wild card.
Yeah, I'd have to look up some history, and I'm not going to look it up because it would take way too much time. But the largest deficit overcome, 10 games in June is a lot.
It is.
It's not impossible. And obviously the largest deficit overcome was the 69 Mets. And I don't know how far back they were, but I think it was like 20 games at some point. They were down a lot. And it was a different system where they didn't have wild cards. So they came back from way behind, and they came back to obviously win the World Series eventually. But to be down by 10 games in the wild card, 12 games. Everyone but the Cubs is down by 12 games in the wild card. It's hard to imagine someone coming back from that, especially when they've been so good. And like when I profiled the teams and I looked into it, it's not that they've just been beating the Padres and Giants. They've been beating everybody. It's not a limited thing. They've really been crushing every team everywhere.
Did it again today.
All three teams? Yeah, obviously they're all on winning streaks.
Well, I mean the Rockies.
But they're all playing shitty teams right now. The Rockies are playing San Francisco, Arizona's playing Philadelphia, and the Dodgers are playing Cincinnati. That's not really
the I peak. Guess. Well, Colorado didn't pitch Greg Holland today because he had pitched 3 days in a row. So he used Jake McGee and Hunter Pence hit a 2-run homer off of him to take the lead, and then Nolan Arenado hit a 3-run homer in the ninth.
Oh yeah, so he can get his Lampson. Yeah, so I like, but they're good teams. In the AL, things are so much closer. I don't know if it's more entertaining. I personally like to see the best team win, and I think when things are close, you don't necessarily know who the best team is. So, I mean, you know Houston is the best team in the AL West right now, but the other divisions, is New York better or is Boston better? New York has obviously had some exciting offensive production this season, but Boston probably has better pitching and fielding. And they're a half game between each other. And Tampa Bay looked incredible against Cleveland. They played recently.
They just looked incredible against Detroit, too.
Yeah, even so it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to say. And even Toronto is 5.5 games back now after their terrible start.
Yeah, but they're not really. They've lost them, and they came back, but they're not making up any more ground at this point.
But 5.5 games is a lot easier to make up than 10 or 12.
Sure.
So I'd say every single team in the American League is technically still in it, which is such an odd thing.
Chicago White Sox are not in it.
They're 4 games out of a wild card. 4 games.
I mean, numbers only, yes.
I mean, I understand. No, I get it. There's some shitty teams. Oakland is not going to make the playoffs this year. Chicago's not going to make the playoffs this year. But they're still within 4.5 games. The Oakland is. And Chicago's still within 4 games. So it's technically, it's all within. We're not even
playoff odds out of anybody. I'm sorry, the Angels have a pretty shitty one, too.
Well, it helps when you have more than one player on your team. Which is why we need to get Paul George.
Which is why they need Paul. The Indians need Paul George. Who is he going to start over?
Whoever they trade for him. I've heard he's really good defensively.
So he should start over Lindor?
No. Well, obviously, you want more than one good defender.
So you should start over Kipnis.
Maybe. If they have the trade Kipnis for him.
Don't like it.
Shock the monkey. The
Warriors that way.
Hey. Shock the monkey.
Did we start over the podcast? Did I miss
watch
something?
The monkey get hurt. Monkey. I was going with like a George Michael thing.
You're going to be very disappointed. I don't really know much George Michael.
What if we combined Paul McCartney and George Michael?
I know some Paul McCartney. I don't know any George Michael.
Did Paul McCartney ever write a song about a monkey?
He did.
Did he? I'm asking. Because George Michael wrote Shot the Monkey.
No, Jordan McGrady wrote a song about puppy love, but not a monkey.
We're going to have to come up with something here. I'm not sure how we can get this.
You're so far past my time frame that
I'm not sure how we can get this trade done, Justin. I'm really not sure.
We have lost.
Can we trade a first-round pick from next year? A 2018 first-round pick.
I don't think you should. You already gave up your first-round pick for this year.
Well, but they just picked somebody. Oh, well, that's right. They got Encarnacion.
Yeah, so they didn't have a first-round pick, not technically.
Yeah.
So now you want to give up next year's first-round pick? Jeez.
Maybe. But if they win the NBA championship, it's worth it.
Flags fly forever.
Can we win the World Cup? Is there a chance?
I can't even go on about soccer.
I want to get Chicharito.
I'm lost.
Did we get Bono?
The singer? Isn't he dead?
I didn't know you were a Penguins fan until like a week ago. Actually, I probably knew a year ago, and then I forgot until a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going
to
lose.
Otherwise, I get attacked on Twitter.
Anyone we have that subscribed to this is now going to unsubscribe because you're a Penguins fan.
I can lose followers on Twitter, and that's very, very important.
Don't worry. I'm a Coyotes fan. I like Radim Verbata.
You're not going to have a favorite team next year, 2 years from now, are you?
Well, I guess not.
They're going to leave again.
I'm not going to travel more than 15 minutes to go to a Coyotes game. I'm telling you that.
I wouldn't blame you.
I can go down the street and watch the Coyotes fight over a dead pigeon, but not to watch them play hockey.
Awkward form of entertainment.
Has this entertained anybody?
Talk about?
Ever? No, we're done. Has this show entertained anybody for 5 minutes? I'm really hoping. Who's the one guy that tweets me? One guy who tweets me. Is this enjoyable for you? I hope so.
I don't know.
Len Marucci, 18918. Are you enjoying this? Vincent Novella 1.
Otherwise, we wasted ourselves a nice hour.
Vincent Novella 1. Is this entertaining at all? Because, I mean, this episode has been mostly jokes for me. I really haven't had any serious analysis in this at all.
Your Daniel Robertson analysis was very good.
No, those were jokes. I really love Daniel Robertson, and how dare you ever say anything bad about him.
I'm careful Twice. What I say about him on Twitter, because his wife found me on Twitter and favorites every tweet about him.
Oh, that's okay. Kieran Lovegrove's family follows me the entirety of it.
Yep.
As does Tristan McKenzie's. But I would never say anything bad about Tristan McKenzie, because Tristan McKenzie is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen play at any level. And I've seen little leaguers and major leaguers.
You had a rough start today. Can we say that?
No, you can't.
Oh.
I'm going to censor you if I knew how to do anything technologically on this podcast. I'm going to trust that you will censor yourself and make sure that doesn't hit the air.
No. It takes too much time to edit that out.
Let's wrap this thing up. I've been Joe Koblitz at Burning River BB. Obviously, check out Burning River Baseball for all of our stuff. That's at .com, burningriverbaseball.com. Fun times. He's been Justin Latta, a whole lot of Latta. You can check out him at JL_baseball. If he doesn't like that nickname, he better tell me at some point, because I'm going to keep using it.
Don't care. I've heard worse.
And you can find him in the Lake County Captain's Locker Room.
Video.
So go down there and say, hey, is Justin down here? And you might end up talking to Justin Garza, but you never know.
And you might see the manager yelling at me or wanting to kill me.
Turn it off. Just That's it. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.